That it's so easy to drift away from God and to lose that fervency that we once had. And so I want to talk to us a little bit about, just share a simple thought tonight and hope it'll help us as we meet this evening. Verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts now and magnify Christ in this service. And I pray you would give us, Lord, truth and this message that we can carry home with us and that we'll just engrave it upon the walls of our heart and we'll refer to it and remember it. That, Lord, we'll maintain that fervency of spirit, that closeness in our walk with you that you desire. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I do try to study life and the scriptures and try to find ways that I believe will keep us closer to God. My greatest burden and heartbreak, I think, in my ministry is sometimes seeing people whom I love and whom I thought had a very close walk with God backslide and do things that the world does and seem to lose all degree of spirituality in their lives. But is it possible to so live that there is not this tendency to backslide or to have this lapse in morals or devotion to God? How do we live on that high spiritual plane without falling to a lower one? How do we do that? Verse 2 is a thought, I believe, that can be a tremendous aid to prevent us from backsliding. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen carefully. Not long ago, I heard about a preacher who had cancer. His wife called around, wrote many churches asking prayer for her husband. Those prayers were marvelously answered, and the husband was completely healed of cancer and given a clean bill of health by the doctors. But later, the wife wrote another letter saying, "There's something wrong. My husband is not as spiritual as he once was. He doesn't read his Bible like he did. He hardly prays anymore. I don't understand what has happened. For days and weeks and months, we lived before the throne of grace. We bombarded God's throne asking for God's help. And now that my husband is well and our prayers have been answered, suddenly, we're backslidden." And I wonder if that's not the story in many lives tonight. I've heard of college students, for instance, feeling like they were called to go into the ministry full time or go into preaching or evangelism or to be a missionary. They'd go off to college, and before long, even in college, with every day being in the Word of God and every day studying and being tested and being around other Christian people, they have admitted that they backslid on God. They lost that fire, that fervency that they once had. And I think this is often the case where there has been maybe a burden to do something for God or a burden for a particular person, a physical need, and there was much prayer and weeping and humbling ourselves before God's throne of grace, desiring that God would give us direction or bring healing or help from on high, whatever the need might have been. Here's a sick child, for instance. A family gets close to God and they're praying for that child night and day, and then the child in time is healed and the family rejoices for a season in that healing. But then something happens. They find themselves not praying like they once did. They don't have the burden they once had. They don't have the tears. They don't have the humility before God. The truth is, the very answer to the prayers of that family has caused them to backslide. A couple gets married. They pray on their wedding night. They dedicate their home to the Lord. They begin their married life with prayer and family altar and worshiping together and getting active in the local church. They spend time with each other. They work together to get a measure of success and security in life. And they finally make it, just in time to divide it as mom and dad go their separate ways in divorce. What happened? They got successful. Everything seemed to fall into place for them. And they reached a point where they felt like, well, maybe they really didn't need to pray their way through each month just to make it. And they became, as time went along, more and more independent, more and more financially successful, and then they backslid. A man starts his own business, takes his life savings and struggles. He gets up in the morning praying for God to help him that day to make enough sales to make ends meet. For days and weeks and months he prays, and throughout the day he's seeking God and asking God to help his business. And then suddenly the tide comes in and his business just mushrooms and booms, and he's got thousands in the bank. What happens? All of a sudden he's not praying without ceasing. All of a sudden he doesn't need God quite as much as he did, and he's not seeking God through the day, and God's not hearing his voice. And he backslides. A church goes through the fire. The first thing that happens, those spiritual members in that church fall on their knees and begin praying, "Oh God, help us." They ought to get up through the night praying, on their knees, weeping, asking God to give direction and help and leadership. And then seemingly victory comes, and the church becomes financially stable and has a number of members and it's like a lot of the churches we see around town now. The lights are not on Wednesday evening anymore. The lights are not on Sunday evening anymore. And it's like we read over there as Jesus is talking to the church at Laodicea and accuses them of being neither hot nor cold and just lukewarm. He says, "You think you're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." And isn't that where a lot of churches are tonight? They got millions in the bank, multi-million-dollar complexes, seemingly not a care in the world. And it's like God is no longer getting the attention of his people in the wee hours of the morning. It's as though the churches don't need God anymore. It's like Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Isn't it a shame when Jesus himself is shut out of his own church? Oh my. I'd like to say tonight that God's not a fire department to call just when your house is on fire. God is not a police department that you just call when somebody's breaking in your house. God is not an insurance policy to collect on just when you're having trouble. God is your Father. God wants you close to Him. When business is good, and when business is bad. When your family is well, or when your family is sick. When the church is going through the fire, or when the church is in revival. God wants you close. It's sad but true, but so many people must have sparks before they can fly upward. They must have that friction, that burden of life to keep them close to God. Job 5:7, the Bible says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's sad but true. But it seems like the little turbulence in life are needed for many people to stay close to God. Doesn't it seem that way? The psalmist said in Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. What a statement. What a statement. It's not hard to find religious folk when the bombs are dropping and the bullets are flying and people are falling all around. But send them on R&R. Send them off the battlefield to take a little vacation from the battle. And see what stories they tell you when they come back. What they did on R&R. I promise you they weren't, majority of them, praying before God's throne of grace when they were away from the battle. Like the fellow on the roof. Brother Duane can appreciate this. He started sliding down the roof. And he started crying out, help me, Lord, help me, help me. And all of a sudden he slid over a nail that caught his britches. and it broke his slide. And he said, that's all right now, Lord. I can make it by myself now. But most of us are kind of that way, aren't we? I remember one day Brother Duane, a humorous story, he was over at Brother Jim Griffin's church and his roofing, fixing the roof over there, and the ladder fell. You remember that? And there you were up there on the roof with no ladder to get down. How did that work out anyway for you? You had to jump.
Before then, I taught people down on the main road were coming to go for lunch. I called to them, way to them, and hollered to tell them to come help me.
And they still didn't help you. All right. But I'm just saying, a lot of times when things are going good, we really don't think we need the Lord. The problems and the burdens in your life are the means that God uses many times to give you spiritual growth. And when the problem is gone, The means that led to the spiritual growth is gone. And if you're not careful, it's then that you will backslide. The Christian needs the conditions to prevail that prevailed when he was right with God. Now listen carefully. Don't get ahead of me tonight. Look at when you were really spiritual and close to God. You remember that time? Find out what you did when God really was first in your life. When you got up in the morning, God was the first thing you thought about. You prayed, you read your Bible. God was on your mind and in your heart all day long. When you'd go visit a church, you'd want to go down and all the way as close to the front as you could get. And I know some people are afraid they'll stick out like a sore thumb if they get too close to the front of the church. But really, it doesn't hurt anything. You might get slobbered on a little bit. I've seen some preachers that really get in a big way, and if you're anywhere close by, it's going to be raining on you. But I'm saying, it may be that you became spiritual working in a certain place, but you changed jobs. Your schedule became different. The people you associated with were different. Things changed in your life. But let me say this. Under the conditions in which you became spiritual, when you began to walk close to God, as much as is possible, continue that. Pray at the same time, at the same place. Read your Bible at the same time. Go soul winning. Look back on those conditions that were present when you were spiritual and close to God, and recreate as closely as possible those conditions again. Listen carefully. Suppose those conditions involved a seriously ill child. You prayed. You were brought closer to God. Anybody ever been there, done that? You prayed for a child and it brought you closer to God? Yeah, many of you have. How many have had a death in your family and God used that to bring you closer to God? Could I have see your hand? Many of you. Many of you have had that. Now, if the sick child was the means and the child gets well, what can you do? You have one choice in three. Number one, you can ask God to repeat that. It would be a tragic shame to have to always have a sick child for you to stay close to God. Wouldn't that be a shame? It would be a shame. I'd hate to be more spiritual when a child is near death than when he's well. I'd be afraid that God would keep that child near death all the time. But suddenly the child is well. Does that mean that, like the preacher I mentioned earlier, that when that child gets well, will you forget that there's a Bible? Will you forget that there is a prayer closet? Will you forget that you're supposed to walk with God? So you could ask God to repeat that condition in that situation, or you can backslide and fall away from your closeness to God and relapse into a cold and uncaring condition. Or thirdly, you can, though you don't have a burden, your child is well now, your loved one is living now, you can find somebody else that has that same similar burden, and you can get under his load with him. Suppose there is a sickness or a problem in my life. I go for months praying, agonizing with God. Let's say my sickness is healed and my problems are worked out. Now what do I do? I could ask for more sickness and more problems to keep me close to God. Or I can backslide and get away from God, or I can find somebody else who has a sickness or a problem and get under their load and stay close to God myself on their behalf. I can hold up another's hand, another's arm, and by bearing someone else's burden, I can stay spiritual. I can stay close to God. I can keep up my prayer. I can see the need for prayer and God moving in ways that only God can move, and fixing problems that only God can fix. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. How many has heard that saying? Now, if an apple a day keeps the doctor away and makes you well, it's a good idea to always be eating apples. Isn't that true? Now, if something in your life is an aid to making you spiritual and closer to God, then you need to keep that before yourself to maintain spirituality in your life. That means that you can have burdens yourself all your life, or you can reach down and get under the burden of someone else and help them lift their burden. Have the same burden for them that you have had for yourself. Have the same concern for them. Offer up the same prayers for them that you offered for you in your situation. Have the same love for them that you had for your own. I wonder if there are some in the church tonight not as close to God as maybe they once were, because you've changed your life from what it was when you were really, really close to God. I hear the excuses. Oh, I would come to church, but I don't want to have to take the baby out. You ever heard that one? Or, I used to go to church before we started our family. Are you going to have to lose that family before you get close to God again? Is God going to have to take another member of the family to get your devotion to Him restored? Why don't you get close to someone else who has just lost a loved one and share their burden and share their loss and share their grief? Why don't you get in the yoke beside that friend or that neighbor? Why don't you feel the hurt that they're feeling? The Bible says to weep with them that weep, and to rejoice with them that rejoice. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It doesn't take much of this world's goods, really, to make me happy. I have enough. God has never failed me. One thing about being raised poor is I think you appreciate more along the way. Just the simple things of life. I grew up without most of the conveniences I now enjoy. Mom and Dad didn't even have running water in the house until I was grown and was able to put it in myself. Well, I say they didn't have running water. Us boys, we ran to the well and back. And we put the running water in and the septic tank and the bathroom and all once I got back from Vietnam. Folks, I think sometimes we can be far too covetous, far too selfish, far too unappreciative of what God has done for us. I told the Lord when I was overseas that if he would make it so that I could just get in under a shelter when it rained, I would never complain. I think I've kept that promise. I hope I have. But I mean it. It doesn't take much to satisfy me. My wife says that she never gets anything new because I always fix everything that breaks. And I guess that's the cross she has to bear. But folks, what I'm saying tonight is simply this. There are others around us who have needs. And I realize I'm nothing really. I'm just a little country preacher, just amazed that God would even allow me to pastor a church like this. I don't have much personality. My wife says sometimes I don't have much of a mind. But yes, I do have a great deal of pressure at times, and all that goes with that. But if I will listen to your problems, if I will try to help you, I have found that by trying to help you, that I can forget my own problems. If I am willing to help you bear your burdens, I'm going to need God's help for that. And bearing your burdens will help me stay close to God. I don't want you to backslide. We backslide is so easy. I mean, you can do it accidentally. We don't mean to. It's like nobody has to teach you how to lie. Nobody ever comes up and says to you, let me teach you how to tell something that's not true. Let me teach you how to lie. No, nobody has to do that. We have to teach our children to tell the truth, don't we? Lying just comes natural. You don't have to teach people how to steal. That just comes natural. You have to teach people not to steal. If you don't do anything about your way of life, I promise you at some point, when you get out from under the burdens and life seems to be going great, you're going to backslide. And I'm just saying tonight, find out what was going on when you were close to God, when you sat in church, when you couldn't wait to get there, when you read your Bible, when you had family altar and family devotions. Reconstruct your life as nearly as possible to what it was like when you walked with God and you felt His presence every day. Go back to that period of time in your life. If my heart breaks as much when you have a burden as it does when I have a burden, then God won't have to give me a burden to keep me close to Him. If my heart aches over your problems, God may not have to give me a problem, for my heart will be aching already for you, and God will already have my attention and my closeness because of my entering in to your problem and helping you carry your burden. Now, church, I'm finished tonight, and I know you'll hear a lot better sermons than this, but I don't think you'll find anything needed more than what you've just heard tonight. Amen. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Come on, Diana. We're going to have a hymn of invitation, and if the Lord's spoken to your heart tonight and you want to come to an altar of prayer, and please come. If there's a need for someone to share the plan of salvation with you, if you feel you're lost, we want you to come. If you feel you just want to get closer to God and the altar is a good place to do that, then you come. We're singing, I Surrender All, and I hope you can do that tonight. Get close to God.